Transmitting from South Central Texas since 2007, this is Anomaly. Talking about your favorite sci-fi fantasy topics, we're the halfway point between muggle and geek.
Anomaly, something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity, peculiarity, irregularity, inconsistency, incongruity, a rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen. My first contact era Starfleet uniform has a place of honor in my closet, next to my old prom dress and my favorite business jackets. And I am an anomaly.
My name is Angela, and are we done here? And I am an anomaly.
Okay, you have to explain yours.
Oh, mine has to do with the episode. At the end of the episode when they're debriefing everybody and number one is like, are we done here?
Are we
done here? Is that it? Can I go? I love her.
Are you done? Can I talk now?
Are we done?
That's like something. My Ross Perot.
Oh, that's funny. I like that. But anyway, so that was mine. The thing I'm the most sad about here is that I wish the show could split and like follow the Enterprise for a little longer and then also follow Discovery.
Yeah.
Because
so I guess we should tell people what we're talking about today.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
We don't want to spoil it for people.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. I don't know that they're watching. I mean, I don't think they would be listening to this episode.
Yeah, I shouldn't.
Go and do your due diligence. I believe in you.
Today we're talking about the season two finale of Discovery, which we both just watched a couple of days ago.
So I was on a couple days ago, but I watched it last night.
Because I was one episode behind when the season two finale came out. So I had to watch two in a row because I guess it was the first part of the finale left me hanging. And I was like, I know it's 11 o'clock, but I have to watch it.
I totally agree. I don't know about you. I was so happy. And I got chills. There are some things, you know, you can always go into stuff that you think is ridiculous or whatever. But one of the things we said, because we covered the first two episodes, right? Mm-hmm. Or the first four episodes, and then now we're covering these two. One of the things that we really liked about this season was that they kind of got back to the roots of the Star Trek storytelling, which is you have these technically complicated and convoluted solutions to problems that totally work out. And I like that. That's what Star Trek is. It's the emotional story. It's the weird, made up, technical reason why it's going to be okay. And then we do it and it's ridiculous and it's amazing. And I love it. I don't know. That's me. What did you think?
I don't want to rain on anyone's parade.
Ouch.
I thought the season was great.
Mm-hmm.
And the season finale seemed convoluted.
But that's what was great about it.
Too much stuff going on. I know you remember the new Battlestar Galactica series.
Oh my
gosh.
Which
isn't so new anymore. And you know how they would
Jim
like...
Jim and I talked about Battlestar Galactica right after that.
So like how they would squeeze in clips like previously on Battlestar Galactica. Mm-hmm. And we're like, that wasn't in the episode. Because I was like, did I miss something? Because the alien...
They did those mini episodes.
Well, I can't watch all those too. I was so lost. And I was like, sure that I had missed an episode. Is that the spore drive people they ran into that evolved or something?
What? No.
Because she had a similar voice.
Her character wasn't the same at all. It was totally a separate thing. There were four, and I didn't watch them either, but I just kind of went with it. And I know that there were four episodes, and one of them was Tilly centered, and it was about this girl, about this queen. They did have it from there, but that's why they included it in the previously on.
Okay. It was almost Battlestar Galactica-like.
I understand.
There were parts I really love. I adore Giorgio.
Ugh.
The stuff I would want to say, she says for me.
The thing that I love about her is that, I don't know, she's dipped in butterscotch. Like, everything she says is sweet and amazing. I don't mean that she is sweet. I just mean the way that she delivers and the way that she is. I don't even know if I've talked about this because we only covered the first few episodes in the first season, is that in my mind, I think that this Giorgio thing, and since she's going to have her own
series,
right?
Yeah.
You know, we've always had kind of this black and white vision of the Mirror Universe, right? So like TOS has a Mirror Universe episode, and then Enterprise has a series of episodes dedicated to Mirror Universe. And it's always the same Mirror Universe, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they are exact opposite of us. The whole point is, you know, it branches off. Hitler wins the war. Nazis take over, blah, blah, blah. And then everybody's evil. My assertion during the season has been that the people in the Mirror Universe are still us. They're still who we are. It's almost like a nature versus nurture argument. From the time you're born, you are given positive reinforcement for negative behaviors, but you still are who you are. You still form connections. And from the time that Michael arrived in the Mirror Universe, she and Giorgio still had a connection regardless. I think she still has affection for her, and thus she still has a heart. And my thought is that the longer that she is in the regular universe, our universe, whatever that is, the good universe, and she is getting positive reinforcement for positive action, I'm not saying she's ever going to change completely or ever become who the other Giorgio is. I don't think that's possible. But I do think it's interesting in a different environment that she not necessarily be wholly evil, wholly defined by being evil. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I started to notice her changing a little bit. I wondered if it was too much right away instead of more of a gradual turn.
Oh, it's been over the course of
the season. Well, like when the first episode of season two, when Michael tells her, go back to your pit of snakes, and she goes,
well, but that's who she is.
That is who she is, and it's awesome. I love it. And over time, she's become more of a friend, but I still wonder what she's up to.
No,
I can't trust her yet.
I definitely think that she's always up to something.
Yes.
But I do think that her motivations have had to change. So mm-hmm. she's always looking for the angle. And what if, and again, like this is why it's to me, it's an interesting kind of character study. What if her motivations have to change to recognize goodness, because that's who we are here. And that's what Star Trek is, right? It's hopeful. People can change for the better. The whole point of Star Trek is that out of darkness, out of horribleness, can come greatness and peace and love. I feel like Giorgio can be like the ultimate example of that. And yeah, she's still going to enjoy getting revenge on someone. And that was amazing, by the way. That was awesome. I loved it. And everyone really agreed with her. And that was really great. Because you watched both episodes at the same time, right?
Yeah, I did.
At the end, when Pike is beaming off and she's like, oh, by the way, I'm not Giorgio. I'm a Terran. And he's like, what Mirror Universe? And he winks. And I'm like, that's so kick-ass. So first of all,
he knew it wasn't her.
He knew it wasn't her because he's not a dumbass. And he's probably high enough up in Starfleet that he knew what was going on. But the other part is, so this is my theory about that. At first glance, it sounds like she's trying to be a She's trying to be a jerk. It sounds like she's trying to be a jerk because she wants to get in his head. But I also think, now, this is a little bit of a stretch, but I'm really committed to this idea. She's also telling the truth. Truth is important to being a good person. And the Giorgio she is deep down, whatever core of her personality she shares with the one that died, couldn't let him go without knowing the truth. I know that sounds really crazy, but I don't know. I'm just excited about this idea. I'm interested so much in the idea of heroes. What makes a hero? What makes someone good or bad? And how all of these shows we watch really study that. And I don't know. I just think it's really interesting.
It is interesting. And that's why, and you've picked at me for this before, why I really loved Return of the Jedi and Vader's turn at the end. And you said that you thought it was cheating. Giorgio was basically the Vader of the Mirror Universe.
It's been weeks. He changes in 15 minutes.
No, he's struggling with that throughout the time that he's Vader. He's always struggling with it. We don't get to see it. but we get to see the switch in Return of the Jedi.
I'll give you that. I think that's interesting. And the idea of the hero is very central to how George Lucas approaches things too. So I'll give that another look for you.
I think you're right, though. Maybe it is a message that the hope that Star Trek brings, maybe that's why she's changed too. I don't think she's ever going to be the Georgia we knew in season one. Ever, ever, ever. But she has her place in Section 31 where she can operate with her shades of gray and still
well,
be Georgia.
She can't now because where they're going, she's with Discovery, on Discovery. So
Tyler is in the past. So isn't he supposed to be in the series with her?
I don't know any of this. That's why I'm really interested.
At the end, I was kind of like, is that the end of Discovery? Because I didn't know if they were going to pick up with a season three in the future. I figured that out later, but the episode wasn't extremely clear to me. I think it's because of the Enterprise riding off into the sunset. I wasn't really sure if they were just giving us a final episode, like a series finale or a season
finale. I kind of like the idea of they didn't know when they wrote these episodes if they were getting another season.
Maybe that's why it felt like
and
that.
And so I enjoy the idea that this could be a very satisfying series finale, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, I mean, can I talk about my problems with it?
Oh, please go. I'm sorry.
No,
it's okay. I've had time to say my piece, so go.
No, I'm sorry to interrupt. There are parts that I really enjoyed. Giorgio and her battle with control guy.
Oh, with the anti-grav.
That was epic. That, you know, the gravity was turned off and they were fighting on the walls and the ceiling.
Yes.
I was in awe of that. It was very Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. And
which
that's where
he was in.
Yes. That is like a first, I think, for any series. It was so well done. There were moments like that yes. really had me interested in the show, but it's the story I had a problem with. It's not awful, but it was just like, it felt hurried, slapped together at the end. I don't know if it's because they were trying to squeeze it all in the time block that they had, but it almost felt too rushed. Like it wasn't polished. The acting was great. Those moments were awesome. The lines are, whoever's writing is doing a great job with dialogue. It's just the plot. That kind of bothered me.
You thought that the end where she made the realization that all this stuff had come together was...
No, that made sense, that all the signals were appearing for a reason, that she was the one going to these planets to lead herself and these people to this moment in time. It's just this episode was really rushed in putting all that together, if that makes sense. Like, it took a lot of time fighting the control guy. And then we get to this last part that was probably the most important, and it happened so fast. Action, 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 fighting, huge battle. And then the important part happens really quick at the end, and I was like, okay.
I must admit that I do agree with you, and like, especially if you consider that it was a two-parter, right? And the first part, okay. So in the first part, it's only 40 minutes worth of TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
20 minutes at least was dedicated to all of this super emotional goodbyes.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have super emotional goodbyes. And in fact, one of my favorite parts was the montage where they had everyone saying goodbye to someone out there.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was amazing character development and so beautiful. And it was emotional. And we love all those characters. And so I'm so happy. But Michael saying goodbye to the crew and then saying goodbye to him.
And then people coming back to say goodbye was like that Lord of the Rings
guy. And oh my gosh, I told Jim that. I said, this is like Return of the Freaking King. What the hell here? Just go. Just get in the suit, dude.
Get on with it already.
And what was funny, though, is that like at least in Return of the King, that movie was like 4 hours. So we had a lot of time to devote. We're running out of time here.
Right. That's what I was having the most trouble with. It was pace. It was pacing.
The pace, yeah.
I wanted to see some goodbyes and I love you, mans.
I did.
But it was like never ending.
Yeah.
Didn't you already say goodbye to that person? Why are they back?
And another goodbye. And the other thing, too, is that like I felt a little emotionally blackmailed. I am invested in the relationship between the doctor and Stamets. Because every good series has a couple, the couple that's together. They're like kind of the rock of the series. And I was really looking forward to this idea of we're going to have this super boring gay couple in a good way. They're just going to be happy and they're going to be just like this normal example of how normal and happy a gay couple can be. You know what I mean? Like, I was really excited about that idea. And then I felt so bad for them because everything went, you know, I was so sad about that, that it had to go through, they had to go through so much. But then after the doctor talked to Jet and she was like, get over your damn self.
I love Jet.
I love her. I love her. And she was like, yeah, if you have gone through this universe and found somebody that cares about you, what the heck is your problem, man? And after that moment, I was like, they're getting back together. I knew they were getting back together. And so when they went through that whole rigmarole.
Bye, thanks anyway.
Where, oh yeah, I'm going to go to the Enterprise and blah, blah, blah. Well, we all know you're not on the Enterprise. We know they're getting back together. So it was kind of like a bait and switch in a way. I don't know. It just felt very much like writer's room. Like, how can we draw this out? Now, I do admit, I did get a little choked up when he got to the infirmary and he was I'm not going to lie.
We're on our way. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're just so adorable. They did waste a lot of time where they could have been doing other stuff.
They only had a short amount of time to make it all make sense. You know how Data puts all the little chips together really fast?
Yeah.
It's like watching Data go at full speed, putting things together for me. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. I didn't see what? Now, what happened here?
Yeah.
And the battle. I love me some action and some battle. I mean, it was just taking a lot of time. You know what it reminded me of? Some of these goodbyes.
Helm's Deep?
Not just Helm's Deep. There's a lot of reunion stuff going on. Okay. But we've seen these guys together for a whole two seasons.
It was so cool. But there was a lot of time they wasted because they were trying to drag it out to two episodes because they really wanted the cliffhanger to be like right before the battle. Somebody decided that was a good idea. And so they had to squish a movie's worth of information into 40 minutes in the last episode. And I feel like in the hour and 20 or 30 minutes, they could sell another set of commercials to do a 2-hour episode, which happens all the time. Even The Office had like hour long episodes sometimes when it was special. Instead of trying to make a 2-parter, why didn't they just make a season finale movie?
Yeah, they have their own streaming service.
It is a streaming service. They could have spread it out.
Made it work.
And made it work so that there was a little less of the first part and a little more of the second part. I agree with you completely. Jim and I were watching and we're sci-fi nerds. You know, we are used to this kind of stuff. When she was there and she was doing the calculations and she was talking to Spock and she's like, I just can't go forward. I can't go forward. And then she realized I have to go back. I was following it, but it took me a second. Like I almost thought, I wish I had time to watch this again because I feel like I have to watch the whole series again because this went so quick. Oh, well, I have to go back and do this because I've already done it. Okay. So it's like boom and boom and boom.
They needed to extrapolate some exposition to explain a little bit better for me.
Right.
Like for those of us who are like holding on to the seat of our chairs trying to like ride through the whole whirlwind of the episode and then it's boom, logical stuff happening now and I have to shift mental gears to understand what's going on.
Well, but I do admit that when she did like have the little epiphany and then it flashed to that picture of Jet on the Hiawatha.
Yeah, what?
I did have like when my brain finally caught up, I had chills. I was standing up and I was like getting all excited and I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And she, oh my God. So I did get happy about that. So it was very cool. It was just, it needed to be broken up slightly differently to be satisfying, I guess. That's the thing. And really, because they had that little denouement at the end, it was really only 35 minutes of storytelling that they had for the battle. And I also get very tired. And this is one of my complaints about episode 7 of Star Wars. When you have an enemy that is so ridiculously better that it's hard to suspend your disbelief that this is actually
beatable.
What we keep getting these insurmountable enemies and then some freak thing happens and then we're going to be okay.
They tried to one-up the Borg. They were one-upping the Borg.
I know, but the build-up to the Borg had a better pace to it,
yes,
though. The Borg had weaknesses. And they basically like said, well, this guy's unbeatable. And now blah, blah, blah. Okay, so we're going to take our enemy and we're going to bring him aboard the Discovery. He's coming aboard the Discovery. Like, that's exactly what we don't want. And then the other weird thing is, even after Philippa did all what she did, she didn't say he was dead. She said he was neutralized. Well, what does that mean? And evidently, everybody seems to be happy about whatever happened, so it seems fine. But still, if this is an insurmountable enemy, and I joke about the Helm's Deep thing, because one of the best things about Helm's Deep, even though it doesn't even happen in the books, is when the elves show up, right? But what's great about Helm's Deep is that when they prepare for battle, they're just going to fight to the last man. This little bitty army fighting against insurmountable odds, because it's the only thing that they can do. They don't have starships. They can't port or spore drive themselves anywhere. They're stuck, and they've got all these armies coming after them. And so it's like, they don't have any choice. They have to stand and fight, and just fight to the last man. And they make that abundantly clear why they're doing that. And here, they had to put a bunch of blocks. Oh, well, you know, we don't have subspace anymore. And we don't have this. And all these things are super convoluted. Now we're here. We're all by ourselves. And so when it comes up that all these things happen and all these people arrive, I'm not really a big Klingon person.
I know.
I enjoyed the Klingons in this episode. How she like got bloody and she was like, yeah.
That's what I was talking about. It's like they were like, okay, we heard you. They're not Klingon enough, so we're going to give you a little bit of Klingon. That scene of First Contact when the Enterprise comes to rescue Worf while he's in the Defiant.
Yes.
And you hear dun-dun, dun-dun, ch-ch-ch-ch. Like, I kept expecting them to play the Klingon theme just to drive home that this is a Klingon that you are familiar with. But no, on to positive things. Sorry, so I feel I beat the crap out of it pretty well. So I feel like I need to like talk about the things I do like. I don't think we've ever seen fighters other than the Defiant and maybe the Delta Flyer, although they were more, well, the Defiant was a warship. And I don't think the Delta Flyer was intended for that. There's a crap ton of fighters coming out of Enterprise and Discovery. And I'm like, where did all these ships come from? It was awesome because I think I remember having this discussion with you and Chris and Rico and Joe, like trying to
also
talk about
Russell.
Because of Russell, like, is there
Russell
a time?
Was like, well, they couldn't beat Star Wars because Star Wars has fighters. Does Star Trek have fighters? And we were all like, tick tock. We don't know.
Now you can answer him.
Oh, no, he watched the episode with us and we were like, look, dude.
Uh-huh. The fighters were surrounding Michael as she's flying over debris and through the battles and those types of unique action scenes, you know, the anti-gravity fight in the corridors and that.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
I don't think they could have done better in a movie. The Enterprise and Discovery docking, you know, and seeing entire crews walk across those, I guess, corridors connecting the two ships was really unique. I enjoyed seeing that, too. I do have a theory about what's going on with Control.
Help us stay behind the mic and on the internet by doing one of the following. Tell your friends. Shouting about an episode on social media or sending a friend an email are great ways to share the love. But telling a friend isn't as easy as you might think, because a lot of people these days still don't know what a podcast is. You may just have to grab your friend's phone, download a podcast app, and then subscribe them to Anomaly and all your other favorite podcasts. Thank you so much for listening, subscribing, and supporting Anomaly. We love you, people.
Control is the impetus to the Borg.
I don't think so.
It's
go ahead, though.
Nanite technology. It's infiltrating humans, taking them over. What if we're responsible for the Borg in the future?
It's possible that you're right and the writers are going to do something with that. I agree. But the whole point of the Borg, do you remember what the initial thing was?
Well, yeah, Q snapped them into
into a different galaxy.
Quadrant, yeah.
Yeah, a different quadrant of the galaxy. They were over there doing their thing. They had taken over like whatever little section of the universe. And then Q was teaching the humans a lesson by saying, oh, really? You think you can handle anything? Well, here's this. Q was introducing them to something he knew they couldn't handle. And so Q would have known if they had encountered or been connected with the Borg before.
Well, they almost didn't win that match. So
And that's my point, though, is that Q is omnipotent. Like, he would
have
known
the
human history.
Who are currently rewriting what we know in the past.
Well, they're
done.
That's
why. Because all of a sudden we didn't know that Spock had a sister. And now we know he has a sister who he never speaks of.
But they also did. They made a point to explain why he doesn't talk about her.
I know. I'm just saying that if they do make this the start of the Borg, They're going to rewrite something to make it make sense because it's too similar. If they don't make this part of the Borg, I'm going to be kind of frustrated that another Borg-like technology tried to take over in the past.
Why would it be frustrating?
Why does it have to be the same all the time?
But why does it have to be connected at all? Because the nanites thing, the funny thing is that the nanites are from Stargate. There's a whole Stargate, like 3-season arc about nanites. They call them...
No, I'm just talking about in Star Trek.
I know, but I'm saying that like it's not like this is a new idea in sci-fi. It's just Star Trek.
Specifically speaking of the Star Trek universe.
Okay, fair enough.
We have seen this kind of thing take over before. Nanites flooding humans, making them different. Obviously, it looks different. Mm-hmm. Because you know what? A lot of things look different. The Enterprise looks different.
Can we talk about how awesome
that
the Enterprise
was
is?
Awesome.
And how they so beautifully created an Enterprise. Yeah.
Updated, but still familiar.
That still was the Enterprise. It's like if you were to ask 5 different artists to create the same room, you're going to get different interpretations. And that's all this is. If they came onto an Enterprise that looked exactly like the 60s version, I would laugh my ass off. I would think that would be ridiculous. But I enjoy that they paid homage. The designers have all of my affection for the costumes, for the bridge.
I thought that was one of the best things of the 2-part episode was getting to see the inside of the Enterprise, how well they brought it up to current tech. Something that still looks futuristic and familiar, we can still use the old 60s version of the Enterprise as a touchstone and still know that this is the same ship. The lighting... The pops of color from the uniforms were spot on. When we first meet them, we're like, why are their uniforms different? Why does this look so different? And now it's seeing that it's just a different crew in a new vessel, and that's why they're kind of transitioning. And getting to see them together, the uniforms are cohesive. They have the same certain design aspects that are carried over between, you know, the Discovery uniforms and the Enterprise uniforms. Mm-hmm. As a designer, I appreciate that.
It's so awesome. Also, we need to talk about Tilly fixing that part of the engine or whatever she was doing with her eyes closed. Which is adorable, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Also, the very, very end where they're actually on a clean, pretty Enterprise and Spock walks in. As Spock, I got a little bit verklempt about that. Russell's literally not watched any of this with us, except for he watched this last episode because Jim was pretty sure it was going to be mostly space battle, which Russell loves.
Yeah.
When it was showing previously on, Jim was like quickly describing, okay, well, that's Spock and this is Spock's sister. And, da, 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 da. And then it shows the previously on and she's making out with Hot Guy. And Russell's like, why is she making out with Spock?
I thought that
too.
And
I was like, every single one of us have had that thought.
Yes.
Because the way the two of them look, especially in indirect light, is similar.
Yes. Whenever they first show, like I think it was episode one and they were showing previews for the next
episode. Previews for the next one. I was like, oh my God, why is she making out with Spock?
Spock?
What's happening?
Is making out with her? So that's why they don't talk to each other.
Okie dokie.
Okay, so I feel better. It wasn't just me.
No, it's everyone, including my sweet son, who would never, you know, he just talks. The other cute thing was when she was, because Russell is a student of physics, and so when she was going through the wormhole, first of all, that was very cool. Like the way that they showed kind of the time going through and the wormhole and then black holes, whatever. When she was in that section where all those, like, you know, those little pieces of light were going past her, I have no idea what that was supposed to depict. And I don't know if it was anything specific.
It was just really painful, is what I know.
Right. But you know how it was just those little points of light, basically. So anyway, she's all these points of light. And there was a good section, it was a good few seconds that you saw her doing that. We were like, oh, I wonder what that is. And Jim said something like, are those like photons? And Russell, with the most serious, oh my gosh, obviously, he's like, photons wouldn't react like that. and he even had like a reason that I don't remember. And I was like, oh God, this kid. he was so sure. And the thing is, he's probably right. I didn't really look it up or anything, but he was so like, yeah, no, those aren't photons. There's no way. All right. Well, you need to be watching more Star Trek because you'd love this. As long as I can get him past the Borg episodes. I think I can get him in. He's almost 11. He'll be 12 next year, which is when I started watching Star Trek. So I think he's just the perfect audience, don't you think? Sorry, I get very excited and I want him to love it as much as me. So what do you think is going to happen from here? Is there any other like
closing
remarks?
Oh my gosh, I'm wondering if there's going to be some sort of crossover with the Picard series.
I hope so. If there's a secret Federation mission for X number of years in the future to rendezvous with them.
Section 31. Maybe that's how Giorgio gets back to Section 31.
I mean, because if they have figured out time travel once, they can do it again.
Yeah.
I feel like I need to go back and watch the whole season. Because
I know, I've been thinking
I think
of
there's
doing
so
that.
Many things I missed, and like I need to there's just stuff I know that I missed that I need to look at again. Because like you said, everything went so fast in those last few minutes that it was really hard to, like I got the general gist of what they were saying and how everything was connected, but I had to kind of, okay.
Yeah, I really wanted to be able to watch it again before we had this review, but it was too long.
So right.
I'm wondering if it would have been better if they had started it 2 episodes before the finale, you know?
Yeah, I mean, but the other thing is that there's been some, I'm excited about the third season because I think there's been, since the very first episode of the first season, there's been a little bit of back and forth on what it is they wanted to accomplish.
Yeah.
And so I think that maybe what we're seeing is sort of a redirect internally as far as the writer's room and all of that stuff. What do we want to do with Star Trek now? I mean, they knew that they would have an audience or they wouldn't have done the pay-for-play thing. But I don't think they had a plan necessarily until they saw the reaction, you know, the last couple years. And so maybe they will have a little more of a long-term idea.
Yeah.
And I hear that the new executive producer is like on point, that she took over kind of halfway through this season, which is why there's a little bit of segmenting, and that she has like a good, solid understanding of kind of a Rick Berman-esque direction for Star Trek. Okay. Does that make sense?
I think so, yeah.
Because we love TNG so much.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I feel like I talk so much and I'm so sorry you need to talk more.
I think they're just kind of listening to us now. The fans complain this does not feel like Star Trek. And they're like, hold on, just wait. It's wait for it. You know, and then we were upset about Klingons. They're Klingons eating people. These are not the Klingons we know. And they're like, hold on. They reworked the Klingons. And now I think they heard us complaining, like, why are we rehashing things in eras we already know about? Why are we not going forward? And so they gave us the Picard series. And now I think they're jumping the Picard
series. And
they're
just going
and into the way future so we can see what the future of the Federation is going to be like. Maybe they won't meet up with Picard because it is probably further in the future than he is. But
you never know.
You never know because time travel.
Because time travel. And I'm okay with that because I like time travel. I just don't want it to be a crutch for like a whole thing. I don't want them to be time traveling up all over up in here.
I know that it happened a little bit here and there.
Which I don't mind.
Like all the time.
I mean, literally one of my favorite episodes ever is Time Zero, where they go back in time. So I'm cool with it, but it has to be very delicate.
Yes.
All right. Is there more that you want to say?
Again, I didn't hate the finale. It was a lot crammed into two.
It felt really rushed.
I think overall, the season was excellent. What was your favorite episode?
My favorite moments were very much Tilly moments. I liked all the Tilly moments and I loved Jet. I did enjoy the episode where they went to Kaminar. I thought that was very interesting. I don't know what my favorite episode was. I think
favorite
I'd have
moments?
To come back to that.
Well, I'll just tell you my favorite episode. I think it was called The Sound of Thunder.
Yeah.
Where Saru goes home.
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. That's the one I said. That's the one I was saying.
I think of all of them, that felt the most Star Trek to me.
Yes.
I hope they do that more going forward. And Giorgio, she and Tilly are my favorite characters.
They are. They're so good. And Anson Mount made a very excellent Pike. And I enjoyed Rebecca Romijn as number one. Mm-hmm. I feel like she did really good at paying homage to Majel Barrett.
Mm-hmm. And flippant at the
end. Oh, yeah. Just perfect.
Like, all right. Are we going to get here anytime now? Anyway.
Yeah, I love that. And her hair always looked amazing, even during that battle.
It was very 60s. I love it.
Well, but I think that was so intentional.
Yes.
But I loved that. Uh-huh. I think it was intentional in a way that I was like, good job. Good job, people.
Thank you so much to everyone who sent us email and those of you who posted on YouTube.
our show notes, and on Facebook about our recent episodes. We're going to try to do a feedback episode that will come between our next episode, Endgame, and the one that follows that, which will be about time travel. So Angela and I will make sure to read and respond to your feedback in that one. We'd love to hear from you too. girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. 432-363-4742. And then, of course, you can join our Facebook group, post in our show notes, or on YouTube. I forgot to mention that we're now on Spotify and a new podcast app called Podcoin, which is really cool. It rewards you for listening to shows and gives you points so that you can spend it on Amazon and Apple gift cards. Again, it's called Podcoin. I recently downloaded the app to try it out myself, and I liked it. You can find the Podcoin app in the Google and Apple App Store or over at podcoin.com. And as I said, the next episode will be about Endgame. As always, the first few minutes of our reviews are spoiler-free. Then we'll sound the spoiler alert and get into the nuts and bolts of the plot. If you have comments about that film, we'd love to hear what you thought. Again, you can call our voicemail line at 432-363-4742 or send an email to girlygeeks@gmail.com. Last but certainly not least, thank you to our regular supporters who give every month. As of this episode, those folks who make up our circle of anomalous heroes are Amber, Stephanie, Rick M., and Rick P. And thank you, Hubert, for your donation. We would not be able to bring this to you as often as we do without the help of donations. And the more people who are able to give on a monthly basis, even if it's just a dollar a month, the more fun, frequent, and consistent episodes we'll be able to release. Thank you so much for listening and supporting the show. I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela. You've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, the halfway point between Muggle and Geek.
Whoa, you're still listening? You are hardcore. Thanks for sticking around. If you're a regular listener of Anomaly, hopefully that's because you're a subscriber, because we have new transmissions of our show drop by weekly. You don't want to miss an episode, do you? Do you? Do you? If you're new, we're glad you found us. And Angela and I hope that you subscribe to the show for free, too. One way you can find us is by searching for Anomaly Podcast. A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast. Use both words because there are a lot of shows called Anomaly these days. And for the record, we were first. Look for the hosts, Jen and Angela. I'm Jen, by the way. One of the easiest places to find us is Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio. But you can also go over to anomalypodcast.com and click on subscribe now at the top of the homepage. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com. One thing you're going to learn by listening to our show is how to spell Anomaly, because we spell it all the time. You can find every single episode of our podcast over on our website, including the ones that we've archived that aren't currently in our feed. And in the meantime, between those releases, we are very active on Facebook. You can find a link to our Facebook group on our contact page at anomalypodcast.com, or do a Google search, once again, for Anomaly Podcast Facebook group. We recommend that you visit the show notes for this transmission, because you can get the links to all the things we've talked about, like books, articles, videos, photos, other podcasts, and related Anomaly episodes. That's the place to go deeper with any information you've heard today. It also happens to be a place where you can leave a comment, ask a question, donate to the show, and find our social media circles. And you can get there on our website at anomalypodcast.com. A-N-O, say it with me, people, M-A-L-Y podcast.com. Just look for the show notes tab on the homepage, click it, and then find the episode you just listened to. Check out our friends' shows, Treks in Sci-Fi with Rico Dosti. He covers Star Trek and pretty much anything else sci-fi and fantasy. You know, you should also try Waffle On Podcasts. Meds and Kel like to cover pop culture, television, and film from the U.S. and Great Britain. Then there's the other show I do, the Star Wars Stacks. It's a show that I co-host with my good friends Chris and Joe. We cover Star Wars books from the old EU as well as the new canon. We also report on Star Wars movies and television shows, and soon we'll be playing a tabletop Star Wars RPG game on the show. These shows are all available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher Radio, among others. Oh my gosh, you're still here. You are an overachiever, my friend. Are you Ravenclaw? Virtual fist bump. You know what? You've entered the bonus round, and you deserve some outtakes. Enjoy.
And then I told her a story later about Zefram Cochrane. I was very excited. I was like, the cool thing about Zefram Cochrane is all the things. And I got very emotional.
I don't doubt it.